Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, it's Wednesday, the 5th of August. I hope you're doing okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast. Lots of local news to get through today, including a protest from Kent firefighters over proposed job losses and station closures.
All the fire brigade union is asking is we're happy to sit down with policy management and look at alternative policy proposals to see if we can provide a suitable alternative to keep the people of Kent safe.
We're told there are unanswered questions about a contamination issue in North Kent.
We weren't aware of the extent of the contamination. We weren't aware of the extent of the risk. And I think we and you, the public, now need to have answers.
And one of Medway's MPs says she's confident the new Prime Minister can deliver on the promises he's made.
I have confidence that this will be, you know, we will be able to deliver on the promises that have been made in the right way.
Stay listening. All of that is still to come. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. The family of a Kent man who's died after spending 12 years in a coma say they still have unanswered questions about what happened to him. Denby Collins was restrained by several people at a party on Lower Raynham Road in Gillingham. His life support has now been turned off and an inquest has sparked fresh calls for anyone with information to come forward. His father, Peter Collins, has been telling our reporter Joe Crossley what happened.
Well, it was back in 2013 in December, just before Christmas. We come up to bring Denby back to his flat and we left him there. And when we come back the next day, the flat was empty, the door was unlocked, you know, a bath had been half run but not used. There was a glass of beer on the table. Obviously, he'd left in a hurry, but we didn't know where. So we eventually found that he was in hospital. He'd been in A&E and he'd been moved into ICU and he'd been the subject of an assault, which has left him unconscious in a coma. And it subsequently turned out that it was hypoxic brain damage. He'd had a heart attack because he was strangled for quite a while, which caused lack of oxygen to the brain, which caused that to happen. So we're still trying to get to the bottom of who did it and why and all the rest of it.
So he's been in an unconscious state for
13 years.
Yeah. How's that been for you and your family to have it, obviously have your son be in that state?
Well, it's been very difficult, as you can imagine. I mean, at the start we thought he would recover and we kept hoping and we've going there. And he did get a little bit better, but not too much. And that's been going on for a while. And eventually the NHS decided that he wasn't going to, and it was in his best interest to withdraw his life support. And they went to the Court of Protection to get an order for that, and that's what happened. And so in April this year, he passed away, having had his nutrition hydration removed.
And we've obviously been in Kent and Medway Coroner's Court today for his inquest. How did you think that went?
Well, I think it went as I hoped it would have been a bit more decisive about the cause of death, like unlawful killing or something like that. But obviously the coroner has done the job that she had to do, and a narrative about what happened and left it open. So,
and I mean, what we're now over a decade on from the actual assault happening, you're still looking for answers, aren't you?
Yeah.
In terms of what actually happened that night.
Well, there were sort of five or six, there were about eight people in that house. There was some sort of party going on. There was five of them who were assaulted in Denby, and I'm just hoping that one of them will have a pang of conscience and will have the good grace to let us know what happened. You know, we're not looking to criminalise anything. We just want to know what happened.
Can you tell me a little bit about Denby, please?
Well, Denby was a very active and, you know, he loved life and he was out, he ran discos, he'd been successful as a recruitment consultant, although due to some mental health issues, he wasn't doing that, but he just got back into it. And yeah, he had everything to live for and everything to look forward to, you know, so, you know, this was just a tragedy, really.
You can read that full story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Some other top stories now, and investigations are underway after a group of around 50 balaclava-wearing youths ran through Chatham Railway Station. It happened last Saturday, with witnesses saying some of the suspects were as young as 16 and were carrying knives and glass bottles. One teenager was reportedly assaulted and had his phone stolen. Work is continuing to identify and locate those responsible. A sex offender from Chatham has been sent to prison following a four-year investigation from Kent Police. Tony Mansford was arrested in 2023 after one of his victims was identified. A further five were later tracked down. The 58-year-old, who lives in Concord Avenue, denied the multiple charges against him but was found guilty following a trial. He's been locked up for 25 years. Elsewhere, a Deal man has been jailed for stalking and harassing his ex-girlfriend following their breakup. Gary Vale sent his victim malicious posts on social media and threatened to release private communications during a harassment campaign that lasted 8 months. The 41-year-old, who lives in Manor Road, denies the allegations but was found guilty in May. He's been locked up for 3.5 years.
Kent Online News.
Kent firefighters have staged a protest over proposed job losses and station closures. It's after plans were revealed for part-time station closures, closing on-call sections of full-time stations and changing working patterns. Danny Barrett from the Fire Brigades Union was at a demonstration at County Hall at Maidstone yesterday, which drew more than 300 people. He spoke to reporter Ollie Leader from our colleagues at KMTV.
What's at stake here? Because obviously we've seen wildfires breaking out across Kent recently. Lots of concern with the hotter weather. What here's at stake?
So look, at stake here today, it's down to public safety and also firefighter safety. The more fire appliances we have, the better for the firefighters and also better for the obviously members of the obviously public. We want to get to people as quickly as we physically can. That said, in July we had over 300 grass and wildfires. We've sent teams to Essex, we've sent teams to London, and we've got a team at the moment, obviously Suffolk. So we do a lot more than just serve Kent.
You were saying that some of the on-call stations, they're in like really isolated areas.
They're not actually rural, obviously, areas. It takes us longer to actually get to these if we have our local fire station closed. They are a sort of community hub. They are the last standing piece of the obviously community that's left. You don't see a lot of police stations now in these areas. So the fire station provides that really valuable service to the members of the public in these areas.
Particularly, you mentioned why there, like why I used to grow up in, why I know how susceptible it is to fires breaking out in the neighbouring fields, and also how rural and elderly that population is.
Exactly. And look, all the fire brigade union is asking is we're happy to sit down with policy management and look at alternative policy proposals to see if we can provide a suitable alternative to keep the people of Kent safe.
What would that alternative look like? Because obviously the fire service, they say that they don't have a lot of money, not a lot of wriggle room. What would you say to that?
I mean, look, the central government, as we well know, has been obviously reducing its funding to the fire and rescue services. So we call on the government to actually step in. Andy Burnham has said to obviously firefighters that he give us what we need. We're asking for Mr. Burnham to actually look at that and actually do that. With regards to funding, look, money's tight everywhere. We need to do less or do more with less. But our on-call fire stations are a valuable asset to the community.
Now, this all comes as the Kent and Medway Fire and Rescue Authority are due to meet tomorrow. They'll discuss whether to open the plans to public consultation. Meanwhile, another wildfire has broken out in Canterbury. Crews were called to tackle the blaze yesterday evening on Queen's Drive, and no one was reported as injured. A Kent tourist attraction has also suspended all of its steam trains due to an exceptional fire risk. Bosses at the Romney, Hythe and Dymchurch Railway made the decision following an update from Natural England. Diesel trains will now be running instead.
Kent Online News.
Motorists have been caught on camera ignoring flashing warning signs as they drove across a level crossing in Canterbury. The barriers at the site in Sturry were raised, but the red stop lights were flashing when drivers travelled across the tracks on July 20th. The move has been condemned by Southeastern rail bosses. You can see the video for yourself in the story on our website. Now, bosses in part of Kent have raised concerns about a contamination issue, which has led to the refusal of a major new development. The government's planning inspectorate rejected proposals for a new football stadium and 3,500 homes in Ebbsfleet. Our reports highlighted a risk of lead pollution in the area. Gravesham Borough Council Leader John Burden has shared a video expressing his disappointment.
The application was refused, although it was on Brownfield site, a site requiring refurbishment and renewal and new development being put in place. That development we require is something that was built into our local plan. The real concern for us is the refusal. We don't yet know how the applicant will view this refusal. We don't know whether they're going to try and find a way forward to come back with an alternative scheme, a smaller scheme, a different scheme, or whether they're going to walk away with their external investors from abroad because they don't want to work here anymore. They don't want potentially to work in the UK any further because of the long-winded planning process that we have. We decided this as Gratian Borough Council after quite an extensive review of the application itself. A lot of detailed work went into that review before it was permitted by members. It's taken over 2 years in which to do this review by government and a decision to come down. That is a long programme time for any developer just to stick in with. So I can understand if they want to go somewhere else. However, we have a duty to bring forward the site for development. We have a duty to find a way forward to create new jobs, new housing, and new opportunities for leisure for people of this borough. And we will be doing that. We'll be working with partners to understand the issues on site. One of the significant issues being flagged is that around health and safety. We weren't aware of the extent of the contamination. We weren't aware of the extent of the risk. And I think we and you, the public, now need to have answers. Is that contamination something that is genuinely as widespread as outlined in the report, or is it more isolated? And what is the detail of that? We need to work with our external partners, like the Environmental Agency, to do the investigation work that we can't do as a local authority. But we need answers to those questions. What is the contamination? Where is the contamination? What degree of contamination? And how do we get rid of it if it is indeed there? And does it have any health effects on our existing or past residents and employees of those local sites that are there today? Does it have an effect on the people in the football club who have watched games over many years in that location? What is the effect? We need to have answers. So we have been making those inquiries of all the agencies involved to get to the bottom of it. And we will let you know the answer to that. I think our local plan will still be moving forward. We're still very hopeful of a positive outcome. But this has created an issue for us, and we will need to investigate and understand more. But we will be working that through, and we will deliver both a new local plan that is fit for purpose for this borough council area, and we will begin submission to government to deal with that. But this scheme, this site, is a great disappointment for refusal. We need to understand all the issues, and we will get to the bottom of it, and we will let you know.
There have been tributes today to a Dover-based businessman who ran a scaffolding firm for 40 years following his death at the age of 61. Victor Cloke started the company alongside his father in 1984. He died last month after contracting a severe infection. He's been remembered as an exceptionally patient and devoted father. His funeral is being held next week. A Kent man who says he was locked up for a crime he didn't commit back in the 80s is going to have his case reviewed. Simon Edgecombe spent 10 months in prison after being convicted of stealing money from a former sub-post office in Raynham following the sale of a van. He says it was all above board and is campaigning to clear his name. It's now going to be investigated by the Criminal Case Review Commission, which looks into possible miscarriages of justice. Now, the Gillingham and Raynham MP has told us the new Prime Minister won't make promises he can't keep. Andy Burnham's first couple of weeks in the job have seen pledges to end rough sleeping, tackle the cost of living crisis and reform social care. But there are questions over how it's going to be funded. Nashaba Khan has been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
Andy is a seasoned politician. That's something that we can agree on. And he's been doing this for a long time. But he also recognises and understands that you cannot, you know, what he cannot simply do is come in and make huge, huge promises and not be able to back them up. And I think that's why putting John Healey in as someone who, again, has an incredible amount of experience.
One of the longest continually serving front benches in Labour. I think he served under Corbyn as well.
Yes, he did. He did. And he's, you know, he's had, certainly isn't his first rodeo. And he, you know, he's got a strong understanding of how we can make this work. So I think that has been, and it was maybe a surprise to some that John Healey was given the role of Chancellor. But actually, I think it is the right decision. And I think that's it, you know, the faith that I have in both Andy's understanding and experience and actually what he has done in Greater Manchester, which I don't think, you know, should be dismissed. I know it's not Kent and it's certainly different, but in terms of how he used that role to be able to bring forward some of these things already in his role in Mayor of Greater Manchester and then working alongside John Healey, I have confidence that this will be, you know, we will be able to deliver on the promises that have been made. In the right way. And I think this is exactly the conversations we need to have. If we take adult social care, for example, and social care generally, it is one of the most crippling areas of finances, particularly in local government.
Oh, absolutely. It is about, you know that.
I know that, yes. Yeah. I've been a councillor for many years, cabinet member. I know that it is the thing that is absolutely destroying the finances of lots and lots of unitary authorities and local authorities and councils up and down the country. And we take Medway for an example. I mean, and this is when people say to me, and I go on doors and they say, can you just fix this road and these potholes? You know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? What social care has done, and specifically adult social care has done to our councils, is taken away their powers to do everything else that we expect our council to do.
Mm.
You know, fix our roads, the council tax that we pay, you know, make sure, to be able to have roads that aren't filled with potholes, to be able to pick up our rubbish, and certainly that's still happening in Medway and with our weekly bin collection. But those are, you know, choices that have to be made. Keep our leisure centres open, make sure we still have access to all of those things that you expect from your council. And therefore, if national government does not fix this problem, we are simply creating a huge problem further down the line. So the fact that Andy Burnham has announced, and he wants to work with the other parties as well on this, so he's invited...
That was an interesting departure, wasn't it?
Yes. I think it's a really serious politics. You know, we're not the same. We're not the Tories. We're not the Lib Dems. We're certainly not Reform. But when it comes to something like this, we do have to be honest about the situation we face in this country.
You can download and listen back to that full episode by heading to the podcast page on Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
There are warnings plans to close a specialist elderly care ward at Maidstone Hospital will put vulnerable people at risk. Watman Ward provides treatment for people with dementia and complex medical needs, but it will shut at the end of the month as part of changes to the NHS 10-year plan. Frontline workers say it will cause significant harm if it goes ahead. Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust say the changes are intended to improve patient care. There's been backlash over plans for a new Lidl in Whitstable, just 3 miles from a branch on the same road. The supermarket giant wants to build a new site on Old Thanet Way on green space opposite Tesco Extra. The Herne Bay store is just miles away. Bosses say it would stop locals having to travel, but dozens of objections have already been submitted to council. We've been hearing from the owners of a Kent nursery as they swap the playroom for pastry with their new venture. Friends Laura Hollins and Eve Pointer have been running Hedgehogs, which has branches in Chatham, Hempstead, Rochester and Hoo for the last 10 years. Now they've opened Little Market Cafe next to the old rectory pub in Leybourne. They've been chatting to reporter Cara Simmons.
We love coffee and we've used coffee to help us through some difficult times in the past. So it's always been something that we've wanted to do, to have our own sort of little coffee house sort of hub to come to.
It's always been a dream of ours, but obviously our experience in different businesses has taken precedence. But now we're at a point now where we can actually follow something that we really, really are passionate about. So that's where it came from. So we've been wanting to for years, but the opportunity came up about 6 months ago to have this unit. So then we took it.
And tell me a bit about, I know we spoke about this off the audio, but how did you come about this venue and how did you manage to get it?
Well, my mum actually used to come here to get her hair done because the lady who was the hairdresser here is part of her Rotary Club. And they like to talk about what they're doing in the hairdressers. So my mum told me that the hairdressers was being turned into a studio and this would be vacant. And that the lady who owns the building thought that a cafe would be a great idea. So I obviously went and told Eve straight away and we made plans to see if we could get it.
Brilliant, perfect. And it's great that the fact that the community's not even losing their, you know, hairdressers either. You guys are sharing the space.
That's right.
So people, it feels like this is a much needed thing in this area.
I think so. That's the feel we've got because so many of the lovely local people have been popping their head in and saying hello and welcoming us and everyone seems to be really looking forward to us being here. So it's been really nice to be warmly welcomed by everybody in the area.
It's open from Monday to Saturday from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. And an artwork and models made by the Kent man who co-created Bagpuss have sold for more than £400,000 at auction. Hundreds of people bid on items that were discovered in Peter Furman's former home near Canterbury. He passed away in 2018 and was also behind characters like Clangers, Basil Brush and Ivor the Engines.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has made his 11th signing of the summer. 18-year-old winger Sheldon Kendall is joining from Millwall on a season-long loan. He's described himself as a very direct player and says he can't wait to get started. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.